to the Word today. And I want to show you something that perhaps normally you wouldn't see or get. Amen. Now, what I want to show you today, it should be a blessing to you. So far, in the sessions that we've had, we have looked at God's covenant for financial prosperity. We've looked at God's covenant for it. And we found that God's covenant for financial prosperity is seed time and harvest. Amen. Now, if you're a real student of the Word, you can see that. And it's not possible to even deny that once you look into the Word of God and be able to see that. Second, we looked at God's purpose for financial prosperity. We saw the purpose. You see, God gave us a covenant of wealth, of financial prosperity. Then I showed you Thursday evening, I showed you, amen, the purpose for it, financial wealth, from God's perspective now. Amen. Now today I want to show you God's foundation for financial prosperity. Amen. God always have a foundation from which he works. In everything that he does, there's a foundation. There's a foundation. Amen. Now, here's what I found about the gospel, and I hope you can understand it. People can talk about this real good, but in some cases, you don't see the manifestation of what they're talking about operating in their lives. And one of the reasons for that is foundation. Hallelujah. See, they don't have, they're not building on the right foundation. And so therefore, we have much talk, but very little manifestation. And I want to show you foundation becomes a very important thing with God because he sets a foundation for everything he does. One of the things, if you get to know God, seriously get to know him, you'll find that he is a God of order. He never comes out of order. He never approves of disorder. Amen. So when you're dealing with God, you got to go by what he says, not what you feel and all that other stuff. You can't go by that. You got to go by what he says. In order to get the results that he promised. Amen. And for some reason, that's a hard thing to catch. You know, there's your way and there's God's way. The results are yielded when we do it God's way. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Now, what I want to show you, God's foundation for financial prosperity. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:19. We'll read from the King James translation. Are you with me? Good. Now, how did that happen? How in the world did that happen? There we go. All right. Are you still with me? He says, nevertheless, now listen good now, The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Hallelujah. Now we're going to break this down and get you to see what it's really saying here. The verse is simply saying, if we are in Christ, then depart from iniquity. Now another translation reads it like this. Amen. Depart from evil. Now there's another translation that reads it like this. Have no dealings with evil. Give up wrongdoing. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Now, remember, this is the foundation for kingdom benefits. What is the foundation for kingdom benefit? Giving up evil on the practice of sin. Giving up evil on the practice of sin. Until you give up the practice of sin, you can't step into plenty. Are you listening? Now I'm going to show you what I'm talking about through scriptures in a moment. But now here's what I want you to see. When God dealt with Abraham, and I showed you Thursday evening how we are connected to Abraham, which gives us access to the same covenant that Abraham had with God. I showed you that Thursday. All right? But we saw that God made Abraham very rich. No, he wasn't just very rich. He was what? Extremely rich. He was extremely rich. Now, God did that for Abraham. God is the one who did it for Abraham. Made him extremely rich. But in that, he also commanded him to walk upright before him. See, that was necessary that Abraham walk upright. What that meant he was supposed to depart from iniquity, depart from sin. He could not practice sin. And have full benefits of the covenant that he had with God. Now, let's go to the book of Job, and I want to show you something in the book of Job. We're going to read from the King James translation, but I want to show you verse 20. Let's go to chapter 22. Let's read verse 23 and 24. Now, listen real good. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacle. Then shalt thou lay up what? As thus. And the goal of who that is? Well, y'all got it. As the stone of the brooks. But now you got to see that, you see. You got to see that. You can't bypass that. You got to understand that. He said, if you put away iniquity, come to the Lord. Come back to the Lord and put away iniquity. He said, man, I'm going to bless you. even more than you can imagine. Hallelujah. Are you listening? Now you cannot practice sin and be blessed or prosper financially. You cannot do it. You cannot practice sin. See, the practice of sin plants a sin consciousness in the believer. And if I have a sin consciousness, then it robbed me of faith toward God. Amen. It's the hand of faith that receives from God. After you've learned all of these things, you got to live by faith. You got to live by faith. You got to take them by faith. You come into what God says by faith. If you practice sin, it will weaken your faith life. Or faith toward God. It'll weaken that. Now, you can find this pattern all through the Bible, New and Old Covenant. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 10. Let me show you this for a moment. We may come back to it, we may not, but let me show you Acts 10 for a moment. Acts 10, verse 2. Well, we can read verse 1. Let's try it. There was a certain man in Syria called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Verse 2. Now pay attention. A devout man and one that feared God. Now, he wasn't afraid of God, but he reverenced God. He respect God. Well, all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now, jump into verse 4. And when he had looked on him, he was afraid. God sent an angel to him. The angel was speaking to him. He said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms. In other words, his prayer and his giving, amen, are come up. Whoa. My giving goes up to God? Yeah. Now listen, for a memorial before God. But now we got to look at the character of the man. Verse 2 gives us the character of the man. He feared God. He had respect for God. Now you can't separate God from his word. You can't separate the things of God from God. In other words, he had respect for God. He had respect for God's word. He had respect for the things of God. He honored those things. And then he gave. God says, your giving has come up before me. Your prayers and your giving has come up before me. Isn't that powerful? In other words, his giving, his prayers touched God. And then God looked at his life and saw the character of his life. Your character means something to God. Your character means something to God. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? All right, we're having fun. Let's say we're having fun. Faith statement. Amen. Now, what I'm showing you is very important to you. If you sow your seed, even from the perspective of covenant, and practice sin, God still, he can't bless it. Can't bless you. See, you can't practice sin and be blessed of God. See, living upright is a part of covenant. It was a part of Abraham's covenant with God. It's a part of your covenant as the seed of Abraham, too. You have to live upright. Now, that doesn't mean you're perfect, but you can't just practice doing wrong. Now, when you practice doing something, how would you define that? It's just something I keep doing. But if you understand it's wrong, you can't keep doing it. You see, you just can't keep doing it. Once you find out that that thing is not in accord with the will of God, then I'm not going to do that. And I often tell you guys this, and you know it. Your heart teaches you that. But going by your heart, living by what your heart convicts you of, the other things your heart speaks out to you, that takes discipline to do that. But if he convicts you of a thing, he will help you to get through it too. He don't just convict you of a thing. Amen. See, your spirit is the one that convicts you. But the Holy Spirit is within you to help you to overcome that thing. Now, he's not going to do it magically. There ain't going to be no magic there. It's going to be you're going to have to practice certain things. And it requires discipline to practice certain things. I'm not bent on having my way in anything. And I'm going to tell you something. You may not believe me, but I'm telling you the truth. I don't practice having my way. That is a bad practice. Are you listening? Yeah. All right. When you give up the practice of sin, your covenant is in full effect and is able to produce. Hallelujah. If you practice sin in your heart, you can't catch the revelations of God. You can't catch the revelations of God. Now, we've just been through a teaching. I'm showing you God's covenant. Financial wealth. I showed you that. But now to catch the revelation of that is just as important as anything else. Because if you can catch the revelation of it, then you can practice it. You're not just sitting and hearing me teach it. Now that teaching has become a part of you. See, when you get the revelation of it, see, I can teach you by revelation, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you've caught the revelation of it. You've obtained knowledge of it, but now my knowledge of it must become a full revelation in my heart. My heart has caught that message. Not just my head, my heart has caught that message. And a lot of times we make a mistake, and because our head has caught it, you know, we believe we got it, but you don't got it. The proof of you having it is the practice of it. If you don't practice it, you don't have it. You have knowledge of it. And don't just settle for knowledge of things. Make the things you have knowledge of work in your life, and then that benefits you. See, the Bible says knowledge. You can get knowledge and become totally puffed up. Paul told one group, y'all have knowledge and you're puffed up.
Hallelujah.
You're arrogant with what you think you know. But then he turns around and say, he that think he knows not what he, I don't know how he said it. You don't know it like you ought to know it. See, you can know things, but do you know it like you ought to know it? Amen. Amen. You can't know anything like you ought to know it until you do it.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
Now, here's what I found in my own personal life. I know more than I do. Uh-oh. And most of you are like that. See, you know more than what you do. If your doing can catch up with your knowing, woo, hallelujah. And don't become satisfied with knowing. Make sure that thing is producing in you. And then you benefit others plus yourself. That your profiting may appear to even others. Amen. Y'all hear me? Now look at Psalms 25:14. I want you to look at this. Let's look at it from the Amplified Translation. Amen. Now watch this. The secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord have they who what? See, reverence and worship him. And he will show them his covenant and reveal to them his deep inner meanings. In other words, your heart and catch the revelation of God's covenant. But it starts off with fearing him. See, starts off with fearing him. See, we saw it in Acts 10. First of all, Acts 10, verse 2, that man feared God. He reverenced God. He honored God. Now, you can't separate the word of God from God, nor the things of God from God. You have to reverence those things. In reverencing the things that God has set and purpose, you understand? Then you reverence God. Some people say they reverence God, but they don't respect nothing God does. They don't respect God's order. You can't respect God and disrespect the order that he set. That's foolishness. May I read it again? The secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord have they who fear, reverence, and worship him. And he will show them. And he will what? He will show them. He will show them his covenant and reveal to them his deep inner meaning. The revelation of God comes because we fear God. Glory to God. Can you see that? Now, I'll bring you into something. I hope you understand what I'm saying. There are two groups of people that are without the revelation of God. There are two groups of people that are without the revelation of God. There are actually two groups of people. Now, the natural man is a man who's never received Christ as his Savior. See, the natural man, he's without the revelation of God. See, he's without the revelation of God. The revelations of God, to him, they are foolishness. Now they're foolishness to him because he can't discern spiritually. In other words, he has no spiritual perception. So what God says is foolishness. If you want to get confused, messed up, go to talking to people who don't know God about God. See, it's not possible for them to give you any insight or good information about God because they know they don't know God. See, that's not possible. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:14. Now watch this. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. I don't know why so many of you take advice from people who have no relationship with God. You see. Now, here's a deception right here. Now, sometimes the natural man goes to church. He goes to church. But there are a lot of people that go to church that haven't made Jesus Lord of their life, nor received him as Savior. It all depends on how they've been taught and raised spiritually. See, to some people, being saved is going to church and being baptized in water. Now, all those things are important, but that's not the thing that makes you safe. Now, I don't have time to talk about a safe thing. I got a New Life in Christ class y'all need to go to. If you haven't been. Now, I want you to listen real good. Now, there are two groups of people who are without the revelation of God. Number one, the natural man is without the revelation of God. Number two, you ready for him? The carnal man. Amen. The carnal man, or we could say the carnal Christian. See, he doesn't have the revelation of God. See, he doesn't have the revelation of God. You see. Now, I don't have time to talk about it, but I want to share it with you. Carnality is deeper than what you think it is. Because all he does is fight. One of the characteristics of the carnal man is a lack of submission. Amen. He hates instructions and he hates correction. Doesn't follow instructions. Not receive correction. We could take a whole month and talk about the carnal man, and you'll see things that you've never seen before. But the only bad thing about that, he doesn't understand he is carnal. He don't understand it. He don't understand that he is. He thinks he's spiritual. I'm going to show you some good stuff here. Y'all don't believe me, but I got all the proof. Proof. Now, where are we? Let's look at Romans 8, 6, 7, and 8. King James. Let's stay with that, and then we'll do a little bit of the Amplified. Aren't you glad you came today?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. Look at Romans 8, 6. Now watch this. For to be carnally minded is death. Now when he says death, he's not talking about dying. He says, he's not really talking about dying there. Amen. Everything you do, everything you put your hands to is death. It dies. Dies. Let me talk about this for a moment. You know, carnal minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Let's go a little bit further. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. All right, now let's go back to verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, right? For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now there's a difference, we'll look at this a little bit. There's a difference between the natural man and the carnal man. To the natural man, the things of God are foolishness. To the carnal man, he fight everything. See, he doesn't subject himself to anything. He fight everything. He fight everything. One don't do nothing but fight, and the other one think everything foolish.
That's right.
Amen. Fight everything, everybody. Now, if I had time, I'd show you the fruit of the carnal man. One thing, he always in a fight with somebody. He's in strife, division, and all that stuff. He always in a fight. Amen. Always got some bad attitude about something. Y'all still with me? Amen. Now let's read from the Amplified. Let's read verse 6 and 7 from the Amplified. Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace, both now and forever. Now let's jump into verse 7. That is because the mind of the flesh with its carnal thoughts and purposes is hostile to God. See? But it does not submit itself to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Now, what is God's law? The law of the family of God is love. Doesn't submit itself to love. Doesn't submit itself to love. Amen. Amen. Now we can go and look and see all of the characteristics of God's love in us. It doesn't think of itself. It doesn't do this. It doesn't do that. It doesn't do that. I don't have time to show you that. Amen. Are you still with me? Now let me see where I'm at here. Let me see. Okay. Now, why am I taking you through all this? Because I want you to see, and God wants to pour out his blessing upon you.
Amen.
But you need to see what hinders that thing. Okay. Now, if you practice sin, the covenant cannot be in full effect. It will not produce. And yet you're operating covenant things. You know, I'm giving my seed from the perspective of covenant. Amen. And I'm also giving that others might be blessed. But I still practice sin. God says, man, I like what you're doing in the way you give and things like that. But I cannot breathe on your stuff because you practice sin. Because that the practice of sin is a violation of your covenant. Now, I don't need to stand here and itemize sin stuff, right? Because your heart, I'm telling you all the time, your heart speaks to you about things you do, things you say, how you do it. Now, if you get in the habit of excusing yourself, regardless of what your heart is saying, you're going to get in big trouble. Are you still with me? Now let's go to Psalms 25:12, Amplified. Who is the man who reverently fears and worships the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he should choose. See, fear. He that fears God. Got to teach him, see, in the way he should choose. Now, this is exactly what made Job the greatest man in the East. Hallelujah. Look at Job 1:1. Amplified. There was a man in the land of who? Okay. Whose name was? And that man was an upright and one who feared God and abstained from and shunned evil because it was wrong. Now, what did your pastor trying to tell you? You can't practice doing wrong and become rich. God, see, God wants to make you rich. Now, what is rich? Rich is rich mean. Now, it's not necessarily talking about $1 million, but have a full supply. And we can't count out the million either. You understand that? You see? Well, see, God can't do it if you're going to be disrespectful toward him. Not honor his ways, his precepts, his order. See, he can't do it. I told you this is the thing. The fact that Job reverenced God made him the greatest man in the East. Look at Psalms 25:14. Now watch. That's amplified. That's good. That's good. That's good. He says, now watch this. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Please tell me you're with me.
Yes.
All right. Now watch. The secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord, we read this now, have they who fear, reverence, and worship him, and he will show them his covenant and reveal to them his deep inner meanings. See, the revelation of God is with those who fear it. Now, I don't mean being scared of God or in that sense, but it's talking about those who respect and honor God and God's ways. Huh? Who honor God's way of doing and being right. He says, look, God gives them his revelation. God. Tell me you can see that. Amen. Amen. Now, so the fear of God is what qualifies you for access into the secrets of God. Now, the secrets of God, simply implying the revelations of God. Now, look at Psalms 1:7, Amplified. Got it? There's no Psalms 1:7? It's just Psalms 1:6? How did I do that? No, that ain't what I wanted. That ain't what I wanted. Whoa. Now, you know that enemy got me on that one. He didn't want me to. There's no seven. Whoa. The verse talks about fools hate. Huh? Thank you, Doc. I know it was a one something. It's Proverbs, huh? That's what it is, Proverbs. What it says. Let's look at it. Proverbs 1:7. Got it? You read it. All right, I got it. The reverence and worship, fear of the Lord. There it is the beginning and the principal and choice part of knowledge. See? Its starting point and its essence, but now listen, but fools despise skillful and godly wisdom. Instruction and discipline. Whoa. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? You're not fools, are you? I trust that you're not. You can learn more if you allow somebody to teach you. What did I say? You can learn more if you allow somebody to teach you. You can learn more if you allow someone to correct you. Are you still with me? That becomes important to your life. You know, I'm just about finished. Let me tell you this. People have serious problems with instructions and correction. just have a serious problem with that. Now, when you come here on Sunday, you know what you can come here? You come here to worship and praise God, right? And you come here for instruction and correction. Amen. See, it's not something a person automatically receives. They have to subject themselves to that. See, because by your thoughts, your ideas, they won't just let you automatically receive that. So that means you have to put down thoughts to be instructed. You have to put down thoughts to be corrected. See, it's not possible for you to be instructed and corrected without putting down thoughts. Now, which brings me to this. The people who God have appointed to teach you things. You guys see it like that. I'm almost finished. See, you got to see it like that. You have to see those people appointed by God until they prove different. Now, the thing about it, they're not always perfect. But you aren't either. God uses all of us. And yet we are what? We're not perfect. We're moving to a state of perfection. Can you understand what I'm saying? Now, let me show you this here. What it is. I always point to the scripture. What is 1 Thessalonians 2:13? Let's go down. Let's see what it says. Let's see, is it right? Is it right scripture? King James. Let's go King James. Yeah. Now look at this. I want you to look at this. I have spent with you 5 weeks on this one subject. Now, not because I chose the subject, but I had an inner witness that this is what I should talk about at this time to you. Now, where did that witness come from? It came from the Holy Ghost. You see? Now, I can't in myself make you see how important this is, because there is a shifting that God wants to do with you financially. And it's not just for your stuff. And yet your stuff is included. But it's not just for your stuff. God wants you in position so that he can transfer wealth to you. Amen. Amen. Well, now, what determines everything is how you see this. Amen. Now watch this. Watch this. For this cause also thank we God. I thank God for those. I thank God for you who receive. Now, without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which you heard of us, ye received it not as the words of men. Now, this is the part. This is the part that should bless you. But as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Amen. Now, what is he saying? To the same measure you believe this. Amen. Does it work in you? It works in you. Now what works in you works its way out of you. Then you come into that which God says you should have, whatever you should be, whatever you should do. But it all starts with you believing the preaching of the gospel.
Amen.
See, the proof of your belief is what you do. And God says, now look, if you'll believe this, if you'll practice it, then I'll reveal my secrets to you. The secrets of God made Abraham the greatest man in the East. The secrets of God made Abraham rich. Job was rich. Abraham was rich. See, nobody connected to God can stay poor unless... unless they don't have the revelation of God. Unless they don't know the secret of God. God says, my secret is with those who fear me. Amen. Amen. So God must have found a good group of you guys that fear him, because he wants you to see this. He wants you to move into this. He wants to manifest things in you and for you.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah.
Now let me take you to the scripture. Let me take you to go to Luke 4:18. Now watch. Watch what he said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's what Jesus said. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Now would I be beside myself if I said to you, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me? Now, I want you to see what happens when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you. He says, for the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. One of the things the anointing of God does when it comes upon a man, it anoints him to preach the gospel to the poor. The preaching of the gospel to the poor comes from the anointing of God.
Thank you.
Now watch now, I'm almost finished. He said, now the gospel is the good news. Good news. The gospel is not bad news. I didn't deliver no bad news here to you. It says the good news. Now what is good news to poor people? Huh? What is good news to poor people? It is the preaching of the gospel that breaks the back of poverty.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
It is the preaching of the gospel that breaks the back of poverty. Amen. People who don't want to hear about the preaching of prosperity will always be poor. That's why Jesus said, you always have the poor with you. To be poor is a choice. God has enough, know how to get it all, to give it to you. So, he said, well, Jesus said the poor will always be with you, but the poor will be poor by choice. Go back to Proverbs 1:7. Go back to Proverbs 1:7. I got to go, man. I'm out of time. The reverence and worship, fear of the Lord is the beginning and the principal and choice part of knowledge. Its starting point and its essence. Fools despise skillful and godly wisdom, instruction and discipline. You see, people are poor by choice. God's people are poor by choice. God's people are poor by choice. They're not poor because God wants them to be. That's a lie that comes from the pit of hell. They're poor by choice. Jesus said it in Luke 14. He said, Luke 4:18. He says, I come to preach the gospel to the poor. Gospel, good news. Amen. And you turn your head up to the preaching of the gospel. You push it away. Amen. Because it deals with money. You can't push it away because it deals with money. And all y'all want money. All y'all need money. You can't push it away. You can't push it away. It's the gospel. The first thing he said, I've come to preach the gospel to the poor. 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 Amen. Let's make a declaration. I'm not poor no more. For I receive the gospel. I'm not poor no more. I receive the gospel. Don't dissect it. Don't try to figure it out. Just accept it. Sometimes we dissect too much and come to find out we never accept it. Amen. And then God ain't talking about looking like you're prosperous and you're not.
That's right. Amen. Glory to God.
This is the gospel. Amen. This is the gospel, brother.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. The reason we can't get more, we're trying to hold on to what we have. But we have enough to get more. When will we discover that? When we take the gospel and be serious with it. Well, I'm through with this teaching for now. For now.
Thank you, Father.
I received